KCAA is your CNBC news affiliate. We're the station that gets down to business.
KCAA.
Okay, welcome back to the show. And as we started the program talking about protection and some of the financial considerations you want to be making with regards to protecting your money, we're going to switch the subject and talk about something that's a lot more valuable, and that's protecting those who are nearest and dearest to us, that is our children. My guest today is a perfect fit for the program. His name is Adam Coffrin, who's got nearly two decades of law enforcement experience, ranging from street level patrol to field training officer to instructor. He's completed hundreds of hours of specialized training and certifications in curriculum creation with regards to active shooter response, weaponless defense tactics, firearms tactics, and many others. He is now the president of Safe Kids, Inc., which was founded by a team of experienced law enforcement officers and educators, recognizing that active shooter and violent intruder events are becoming more commonplace, unfortunately, in both schools and public settings. He now teaches something called the Hero Safety Strategies and Hero Program, which he may talk a little bit about today, hopefully, but also just in general, how our children should be educated and taught to respond to these unexpected events, and for us as parents as well, to shed some light there. It gives me great pleasure to invite Adam to the program. Good morning, Adam, and welcome to the Financial Wake Up Show. How are you today?
Good morning, Daniel. Thank you. Doing fantastic. Glad to be here and talk about some safety.
Yes. I'm excited as well, because this is something with, as a father of two young boys that I'm very interested in as well. Tell our listeners a little bit about how you broke into this field of helping our children stay safe during these unfortunate events.
Absolutely. The last about 4 or 5 years of my police career, I was teaching across the country. I was teaching active shooter survivability. I was teaching some of these tactical concepts to schools and businesses and hotels. And when I was in these elementary schools, I get done with the training program, and the teachers were saying, "Hey, Adam, this is great. We appreciate it. We love your program. But the problem is, I can't tell my third grader this. I can't tell my fifth grader this." I got the question about 3 years ago, and I just thought it was maybe a one-off question. And the more I was teaching in the elementary school setting, the more and more I began to get the question. And that's when it dawned on me, we're not doing anything about our kids. We're teaching our parents, and we're teaching our educators, but we're not teaching our students. And so I set out to create a program and a curriculum to help be able to teach this and to bring this subject to light in a very non-threatening, age-appropriate way.
You know, I think the timing of this can't be better either, given the things we hear on the news and on social media about some of the threats that happen all too often. Let's start with some common misperceptions. What are things kids should be doing and should not be doing when dealing with a potential threat at their school?
Well, the problem is becoming that we don't really talk to our kids about it. Parents will sometimes tell them about stranger danger and maybe simply run away, which might not be a bad choice given the circumstances. But a lot of kids simply don't know what to do. And the problem has become that we've grown into adults now and we don't know what to do because we never learned it as a child. What starts to happen with a lack of skill or a lack of a conversation with our kids is that natural instinct of fight, flight, or freeze. The kids are going to have a natural instinct when the adrenaline starts to flow. Unfortunately, the younger they are, you usually get a freeze. Kids will usually freeze and not do anything. Right behind that, most of them will try to run away, which, again, given this situation, might be a good thing. But most kids simply don't know what to do, and they'll freeze. And that usually is the worst thing you can do.
So, if our children are under duress, is there a process or some sort of methodology to help them react quickly and in the right way?
There is, and that's what we designed at Safe Kids. So with our team of law enforcement and educators and child psychologists and attorneys and occupational therapists and the holistic approach we took to this, we came up with what's called the HERO program. And it's an acronym that stands for Hide, Escape, Run, or Overcome. We wanted something that was really simple and really easy to remember in the event danger found you somewhere somehow. And so to start thinking about what the body will do naturally, the fight, flight, or freeze, the HERO program runs concurrent with that. You know, sometimes it's best if you're able to get out of the way and to hide and be, quote-unquote, out of sight, out of mind. Sometimes it's best to escape, get out of the area that you're in or get out of the room that you're in. It may be run. It may be you're in an open field, perhaps, or the playground, and you just simply need to get away. Or it may be overcome to where whatever that threat or danger is now right in front of you. And the last thing you can possibly do to try to do something is to kick or scream or bite or yell or throw some sand or do something to then eventually run away and escape.
Sure. I really like that. Very simple to understand. I'm sure kids can pick that up quickly. What about trusting adults in general? You talked about stranger danger earlier. But how do you help children in dealing with this dilemma that's probably been around since the beginning of mankind as far as trusting adults?
Yeah, so there's, and like you pointed out, that's the dilemma. And so what we've done and the way we've tried to address this is we have a thing called people who hurt versus people who help. And one of the lesson plans that we actually have for the kindergarten through third graders is a good old-fashioned Venn diagram, right? Two circles that overlap each other. And on one side, we talk about the people who hurt. And on the other side, we talk about the people who help. And we have a discussion with the kids of, okay, what people in society, what people in life might hurt you? And we see what they say. And even as parents or as educators, we can give some suggestions along the way. Then we have people who help us. And what types of people are those? And then we have the area in between. And the area in between, we talk about that sometimes there's people who help us, but then sometimes those same people may hurt us, or vice versa. And the concept is no one is bad forever. No one is a bad person forever. And that there may be times that people hurt us, or there may be times that people help us. But we want kids to recognize who or what types of people usually will help us. And those are the people that we want them to trust. And that's usually someone like a police officer or a teacher, a firefighter, a parent, versus the people who may hurt you. And that might be strangers. It might be maybe bullies. It could be other people in the community. And we want kids to recognize who these people are and what to do should they run across these people.
Right, right. Now, as a father, I'm always worried about, you know, fighting and bullying, which seems to be a pervasive issue that I hear about all the time, and, you know, some very unfortunate circumstances that arise from fighting and bullying. What's some of the coaching you try to give kids around fighting, whether they're involved or even as a spectator? And when is it okay for a child to defend themselves when being attacked by someone who's a peer or maybe a grade or two older?
Yeah, so, you know, the worst case of bullying is when it actually ends up in physical violence. And there's usually signs and symptoms long before that. But, you know, your child may find themselves bullied and maybe they never came, buddy, and now they're faced with this potentially violent in-person situation. So when it comes to being directly bullied or you're the, you know, the focus of a fight perhaps or some sort of violence, we tell them it's okay to defend yourself. And that's where the overcome comes into it. And when we talk about defending, we're not talking about, you know, squaring off and going blow for blow, so to speak, with somebody. It's okay to push somebody away from you and then run. It's okay that if you get hit to get out of that circumstance. Or it's okay to do whatever it is you need to do to get away from that person. So we're not telling kids to stand there and fight, you know, like a boxing match or a UFC match. What we're telling them is do something to get yourself out of that situation, and it may have to be physical. The program talks about throwing things to create some time and distance. However, if it's a fight and that person is right on top of you, you might be able to take your backpack and throw it at them enough to get some distance to run away and get yourself some help. Now, if you're standing around a fight or you're a spectator to the fight, kids now will pull their cell phones out just like adults will, and they will try to get the best video footage of that possible.
Right.
In our opinion, that's probably one of the worst things you can do. You just don't know where the fight's going to lead. You know, I think gone are the days where it's just a good old-fashioned, you know, fist fight, so to speak. Increasingly, more weapons are being used. Recently, just outside of Las Vegas, Nevada, there was a middle school fight between two 12-year-olds and a 16-year-old. And one 12-year-old had brought a knife to school and stabbed the 16-year-old multiple times during this fight.
Goodness.
And all the kids are standing around watching. And there's, you know, multiple angles of the YouTube video. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is if you see a fight or you see a fight about to begin, get out of there and give them some help. Tell a police officer or a school resource officer if you have one. Tell a teacher, tell an administrator. Do something, get some help there quickly so you can let adults break this up. And if it's something where it's like this knife fight that occurred, number one, you're not near that area to possibly be hurt. But number two, for the people that are hurt, there's going to be help and emergency responders that will get there quicker to help the people who were hurt in this fight.
Now, I've also read recently of some very unfortunate suicides of children who were being either verbally or cyber bullied online. As a parent, if you see or think your child is being verbally or cyber bullied, what are some appropriate steps as a parent to take? Because according to some of the articles you'll read, they tried to intervene, but what do you suggest in those situations?
Yes, so cyberbullying is kind of the next generation, the next wave. You know, when as parents, when we were all growing up, you know, someone bullied you at school, you'd tell your bigger friend and have some protection walking around with you. But the cyberbullying, kids today, their mentality and where they find their self-worth and identity is truly coming from social media. How many likes do they get? How many people are looking at their pages, their profiles? So for cyberbullying to take effect or to have any credit, it's going to be fueled by embarrassment. In other words, your child has to be putting some stock into what this cyberbullying is saying. And that stock then turns into embarrassment because they're embarrassed about what this cyberbullying is saying. So they're giving them credit or they're putting some emotional attachment to it. So what we're telling parents, especially in cyberbullying, is to be able to empower your kids, to be able to talk to them and say, hey, look, this is all online. This isn't technically real life. This is online. And you can start if it's electronic. So if it's, say, via texting, via maybe email, some of the more traditional electronic routes, block the numbers. We can all go on our smartphone to block numbers, block profiles, and do not reply directly. Most bullies want that direct reply. They want to engage in the banter, so to speak. And we see it as adults all the time on Facebook and various multimedia channels where people get in this discourse or this Twitter war, and we even see it with celebrities.
Right.
And so we're saying do not reply. Just if they want to say something, block them and just ignore them. Don't worry about it. When we look at Facebook or Twitter or some of these other platforms, we can block the accounts so that way they can't post or see what we're doing on our personal accounts. And if it becomes pervasive enough, report it to Facebook or report it to Twitter. Most of these companies have programs and procedures in place and policies to curtail or shut down some of the accounts of these bullies if they're cyberbullying. Yeah. We talk about the messages, and if it's email or a you know, a timeline posting, to save it, screenshot it, save it, so that way you have some evidence. So if you need to go to the school, if it's another student, or if it rises to a actual criminal threat where the police may become involved, they're going to want to see all those messages, and they're going to want to see the evidence behind that. Many parents ask the question, well, what if it's Snapchat, since those messages get erased and they go away?
Right.
We recommend screenshotting the Snapchat, and it does two things. Number one, it'll allow you to have the evidence before it goes away. But number two, it's going to give notification to that bully that you've screenshotted what they've said. And our thought would be, well, if they're bullying and no one is putting them in check, so to speak, now that there's becoming a record of this, especially if they go to school together, that's a great way to start to curtail this and to stop it.
Right. This is critical stuff. I mean, very, very powerful stuff. And for our listeners, I know I appreciate this information greatly, Adam. What about, I wonder about this all the time, safety in public settings, movie theaters, shopping malls. Even last year at a July 4th event at a park, I felt a little weird, unsafe, and I'm with my kids. What do we do if we ever face some type of situation where there's a violent threat or potential threat on our families?
Yeah, and you know, what's funny enough, it's a perfect segue. One of the things we talk about as we wrap up the bullying conversation is to encourage your children to spend time with friends and family who like them, to get the self-esteem back up after a potential bullying incident. And most likely, you're going to go to the movies with your friends, or you may go to the park with your family. Your body has given you a lot of natural resources to sense danger. Unfortunately, most of us don't listen to those receptors and the senses that we have. You know, we call it the hair stands up at the back of our neck. If you're out and about, whether you're with your kids or if your kids are maybe a little bit older and they're out on their own, our number one way to stay safe is we say, be aware. Be aware of what's going on around you. Listen to those senses. If your face is buried in your smartphone or not paying attention because you're engrossed in conversation with your friend, every once in a while, take a break and look around, see what's going on, and see if those hairs are standing up. Is something strange? Does something seem weird around you? Because if it is, there's probably something going on. Your body is telling you it doesn't like a set of circumstances or a set of incidents that are occurring around you. Trust those things, and it's okay to leave. It's okay to get out of that park and to go someplace else. It's okay if you're walking down the street and someone is walking towards you, you feel a little uneasy about because maybe the way they look or the way they smell or the way they're talking or their mannerisms. It's okay to cross to the other side of the street. It's 100% all right to disengage. And if it's worrisome enough, you should probably tell the friends or family that you're with. Alert them to what you're seeing. Hey, does this seem right to you? That guy seems kind of weird to me. Maybe we should leave. Maybe we should go over here. We don't want to look for the incidents to come towards us. We would rather get away from those incidents and enjoy our day and prevent something from potentially having to happen.
I think this is just great stuff that needs to get out there, because you're right. Not a lot of people, A, are talking about it, and B, beyond that, learning about what needs to happen. Tell us a little bit about your business and what you do for the people in our communities and the model of how you're trying to get this message out.
Yeah, so the way we're trying to get it out is through schools. And you think about growing up, we always had a fire drill, and we now know if there's an alarm that goes off, we know we find an air sunset, we walk outside and we get away from the building. We know, especially growing up in Southern California, if there's an earthquake, we duck and cover underneath something, or we get in a doorway, because we learned it in school. We never learned what to do if violence occurred somehow or some way. And so we're trying to create this program as what we call kind of the third leg of our safety table. We've had the other two legs, but the table is a little wobbly between earthquakes and fires. And now violence, we're calling the third leg, so you have a nice, steady basis upon which to live your life. And so the program is designed to be ran in schools or after-school programs. It's a K-8 program, and each of the areas, so we have K-3, 4-6, and 7 and 8, so the different age groups, each have an original story behind them. Each have 5 lesson plans, which are Common Core and cross-curricular, along with a resource guide for the teachers and other drill and scenario-based items, so that way you get a full functioning program in the school or in your place of education. And along with that, it teaches the teachers what to do. You know, you send your kids to school and you're entrusting that school or that after-school program with the safety of your children. The only problem is the people there have probably not been taught or have been trained very well what to do should something happen. And that's what we're trying to change. So we want to not only have our teachers a little bit more prepared, give them all the resources they need to teach this via lesson plans and some train-the-trainer teaching, along with imparting it onto our students. And the lesson plans include everything from games to journaling, narrative, drawing, outdoor activities. And so we've tried to integrate the entire program into their day in a very age-appropriate manner, in a way in which the kids are learning these lifelong skills, but not in a shock and awe kind of way and not in a loss of innocence kind of way.
Right. Well, it sounds like something that I think a lot of school districts should adopt, because I don't think I've ever received any sort of training on this, nor I don't believe our children have either. They may have. But nonetheless, what is the best way for our listeners to get in contact with your program or with yourself? What do you prefer as far as reaching out?
Our website is safekidsincorporated.com, and we have a growing library of parent resources there and community connections there to have the conversations at home with your kids and to ask them some questions and engage with them. All of our social media platforms, which is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, is everything's at Safe Kids Inc., and that's INC. And I can be contacted directly at Adam, ADAM, at safekidsincorporated.com. So any of those platforms will reach us. We're continuing to build our library of not only the parent connections and the family and community connections, but also our school connections as well.
That's great. And it's Incorporated spelled out on that website?
That's correct.
Okay, so safekidsincorporated.com. Again, all our guests are featured on the Give More to Get More tab of the website financialwakeupshow.com. So if you ever missed getting any of Adam's information, you can simply click on the link there and we'll take you right to his website. Adam, I want to thank you so much for sharing this valuable information with our listeners, especially about a topic that is so critical, which is the safety of our children, our most treasured children. So I appreciate the time you spent this Saturday morning. I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Great. Thank you so much, Daniel, and I hope everyone has a fantastic rest of their weekend.
Perfect. We're going to take another quick break. When we get back, we've got one more segment, Give More to Get More. You're listening to the Financial Wake Up Show with Daniel Choi, KCAA Radio, the station that leaves no listener behind. We'll be right back.